Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here live to recap the second live eviction of Big Brother Canada 7. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. I actually was not expecting that outcome going in, so I'm pretty surprised that's the way it went down, but which I guess is good. But overall, you know, not a very dramatic eviction episode, but you know, I'll take what I can get.
I mean, I think there was high drama between Kevin and Karen. I think that there was serious drama. Yes. Also with us tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. You know, as always, I'm usually in lockstep with Melissa, but I'll respectfully disagree. I thought this was a great episode. I don't think they exactly got the editing right, but on the other hand, given how many times the vote switched this week, I don't really expect them to. I think that's a really high bar. I'm not even sure BBUS would do that right. So given that and the fact that it was a tie vote and Dane had to go back on his word because he gave Mackie his word and gave it to him 100 different times and gave him his word and evicted him, that was freaking great. I mean, what else can you expect? So many times we start the season, first few weeks, and get house votes. We did not get a house vote this time. Like, I was absolutely floored with a tie vote.
Yeah, I think that the reason why I'm not thinking it was so dramatic is because I'm mainly focusing on all those like pre-done segments where it was like they were doing the conga line and we're watching them in Wendy's and like, you know, those sorts of things kind of take me out of it. So yeah, I'm not fully invested. And also, I feel like the stakes weren't super high for this episode just because like I didn't really care about the outcome. So it's kind of like, ah, OK, interesting that it was a tie. But so, yeah, overall. But I see what you're saying.
You're tough to please, Melissa.
I know. I will see. That's the thing, though, is that like I have to really care about the people. And so far, I don't yet. So I'm just waiting until I start to pick favorites and start to care. But right now, I'm kind of just like, oh, OK. Oh, Mackie's gone. Oh, OK. No, Laura's gone. You know, I'm not like, oh, my God, because there's no clear favorite of mine yet or favorite side or anything like that yet.
Basically, what you're saying is a plague on the Big Brother house, a plague on them.
That was great. I love that. I don't know about you guys, but I am so sick of house guests giving the hugs and kisses when they go out. Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for voting my ass out. No, go to hell, all of you. That's what I would say. And that's basically what he said.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment, maybe, but a plague on you.
He's like that.
That was very strange. Guy.
Like, he couldn't even get in the right light to give his speech, Taryn. I mean, he lives in some other universe. I know you said Kaylin's living in her own universe on the update today, but Mackie truly lives in his own universe.
Yeah. So Mackie is going to be evicted here by a tiebreaker with Dane casting the tiebreaker vote to evict Mackie. He goes out. He lets us know. And I tweeted this out. I really want to get a little serious here that I'm really proud of Mackie for standing up against fake people in the Big Brother house. It's a serious problem. And it's really disrespectful to humanity and the show. So I'm really just glad that he called them fake, which is what they are. And it warmed my heart.
I just feel like he is one of those people who goes in and doesn't know anything about the game. And you're like, maybe he's going to be a Paul type and he's going to learn as he goes. And it just felt like he was not learning anything. I mean, even for his speech, it was like, did nobody tell him that you shouldn't say you're a strong competitor as like a way for people to want to keep you? The way people want to keep you is if they think they can beat you. But instead he's like, I'm a strong competitor. You know who you want to have on your team. It's like, yeah, not you, because I want someone that I can beat. You know, I was like, no, he's not learning anything. So, you know, he can go.
He can go. So something to note, I think the biggest thing to note, that to take away from this episode, is that everyone who watches the feeds, if you don't, came into this episode assuming this vote was going to be different than it actually turned out mm-hmm. to be. Not that the outcome would be different. We all knew that Mackie would be leaving, but we were under the assumption that the vote would be something along the lines of 7-3, maybe even 8-2, or even more potentially. But it turns out to be a 5-5 vote. The two in particular that are the most surprising were Eddie and Damien, who had told the Pretty Boys, both of them told the Pretty Boys that they would be voting with them to evict Mackie. Neither of them really wanted to, so we don't know exactly what happened to change their minds, whether that means that they were lying, which is possible, I think, in Eddie's case, or if something happened that changed their minds, or if they decided to just kind of cast votes, knowing that Mackie would be leaving anyway. Brent, do you have any theories?
No, that's definitely the last part's definitely not true. I do not believe that Eddie cast a vote knowing that Mackie would be leaving anyway. Eddie is a smart player, number one, and the way he gave that vote off to Kira, I can't even remember what he said because he said it so damn fast, and I hope somebody has a transcription of it, but he was pissed. He was pissed at Kira, and he wanted them gone yesterday, and as far as I could tell, it looked like Eddie thought that he had Kira dead to rights. So he was like, girl, bye. That was basically what he was saying during his vote off. So there's no part of me that believes that Eddie knew that it was going to be a tie vote or that he was going to be on the wrong end of things. Damien, on the other hand, as you had talked about on the live feed update, he had been given permission to not vote the way that the majority was going to vote, because he said, oh, look, I already gave him my word. But on the other hand, I feel like Damien was, you know, somebody who was pretty astute. He does hold his cards pretty close to the vest, and I really thought that he would vote with the boys on this one, but he did not.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I know that we saw Damien earlier today, basically expressing by himself a distaste for having to work with some of these guys in the Pretty Boys Alliance. That like, oh, I hate that like they're in power, so I should probably be working with them. And if I work against them, then they're just going to send me home. Like, that sucks. Like, it's clear that he really wanted to keep Mackie in the game. Did not want to go along with the Pretty Boys. So it'll be interesting to see what the reasoning there was, and if they really did think that they had a shot to keep Mackie in the game. Dane ultimately choosing to evict him with a dramatic speech. It seems like he was maybe referring to the fact that he did promise, which he did on his father, that
that's
he would be
I
keeping Mackie. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty big, Melissa.
That's huge. I really thought that after promising that, he was going to be like, there's no way I can go against him. There's no way. But, you know, I really like that he was willing to do that. I kind of hate when people go into the house and are like, this is my word. There's no way I'll go against it. I like it when people are more flexible than that and are kind of like, hey, look, I'm in the Big Brother house. This is a game. This isn't going to, you know, it's not going to affect that sort of thing outside of the house. Like, it's just a game. And so I appreciate him, you know, being willing to be flexible. And so I liked it.
I appreciate him willing to be flexible. But if you're going to be flexible, just don't make that kind of a promise. I mean,
he
gave his word on his dad's grave. I mean, come on. I feel like
it's too early to do that.
I feel like it's always too early to do something like that. But nevertheless, if you're going to do something like that, it better freaking mean something. And obviously he gave it too willy-nilly at the beginning. It was like, look, you have my word on my dad's grave, blah. And it's not worth the paper that it's printed on. So people know that going forward in the game. So you can't trust Dane.
They'll be like, there's no way.
And I, Taryn, I actually think that Dane might might be one of the reasons why Eddie and company thought that they might have had a shot at this. Maybe Dane wasn't totally forthcoming about his true intentions. Maybe they thought, look, if we have five or six, you know, Kaylin probably thought that Anthony was with her. Maybe there's a chance, because I know Eddie did, but maybe Kaylin did. Maybe there was miscommunication there where they thought they had enough votes, or maybe they at least thought Dane would break the tie in our favor. I'm at a loss to explain why Eddie would make such a boneheaded move.
Yeah, it's weird. And Dane also wanted Mackie to stay. Dane, he was very honest in his goodbye message when he was saying, I wanted you to stay here. I worked so hard. I tried so hard, but you just kept screwing it up.
Yeah, if only Mackie was working as hard as Dane.
Yeah, which is very much the case. Mackie, over the course of the week, rejected Dane's deal offers. He told Dane straight up that he would put him on the block. He then had to be told not to say those things. He then talked about how he would put Damien on the block. He talked about how he would put Anthony on the block. He just continued to do thing after thing that made people very wary, talking about how big of a competition threat he is. He's coming after Adam. He named half the house over the course of the entire week.
He's an idiot. Let's just be honest. Yeah. He's an idiot. I mean, come on. I do have a question for the both of you, though. This is a question that Rob sometimes likes to ask. Who do we give credit for? And like, what percentage do you give credit for various people? I'm going to put a couple people on the board, like Anthony, Kira, Mackie. How many of those, like, what would you give percentage wise to each person in controlling the ultimate outcome of what, or affecting the ultimate outcome on what happened here?
I feel like Mackie is like majority.
Yeah. I would personally say like 90% Mackie, like 5% Kira for not screwing it up, and then 5% Anthony for being the person who was swayed by the 90% Mackie and made it actually happen.
Yeah, it's just honestly, so depressing. Go ahead.
Mackie could have stayed this week 110%, but he just decided that he wanted to say to people that he would go against them, and he wanted. I mean, I just feel like it's like boneheaded moves and stupid decisions made by somebody who doesn't understand the game and doesn't understand that you have to be open and honest.
Like they told him. Like Kaylin's like, let me tell you what to say. Kiki's like, let me tell you what to say. Say this. Even Dane was like, say Damien. And no, but no. He just it's like he was so obstinate about it, Melissa. He would not listen to them.
Either that or he's just kind of stupid. I feel like it's like no. It doesn't register with him. He stands up there and tries to give this you know, emotional, moving speech while he like walks around like he's pacing the room or something, and then says that he's a super strong competitor, like as if that's a good thing. Like thinking
it could be something good if because they wanted to get Sam out, then he knew that. So you know, he's like, look, I'll win. I'll take Sam out for you.
Preaching to the choir there. He's not preaching to like the people who could change the vote around. Like I feel like he's preaching to people who are he already thinks he has their vote, and then he's the other people. He's just like saying the exact opposite thing, like the thing that would make you not want to keep him. I mean, people were saying they would keep him around kind of as like a loyal soldier to get out the people they want to get out. But instead, it's like he's saying, I'm a strong competitor. I'm great. I'm amazing. And it's like, no, we don't want someone who's
right,
amazing.
But that's
we
not the reason why. I know. I realized that was a dummy thing to say, but that's not the reason why he went home. He went home because he didn't know how to play the game. In fact, I have a theory, you guys, that he didn't want to play the game. He wanted to play Mackie's game. Mackie's game is where he's honest with everybody and says whatever's on his mind. He did not want to play Big Brother, Melissa. That's the reason why he's going home.
Yeah, I think Mackie is used to, going by the beat of his own drum, right? Like is his own guy. And that's his personality, is to be different from other people and to do his own things and be kind of weird and talk about, you know, plagues and stuff. And so going into the Big Brother house, he was not willing to compromise that personality trait in order to play the game. And that personality does not mesh with how to play Big Brother at all. That combined with his lack of game knowledge. Just, I think, completely sunk him.
And I think his lack of care. I think he was, I mean, the fact when they were like, oh, how does it feel? And he is like, I feel free when he left. It's like,
free
okay,
from the fakeness, Melissa.
Not great. Not a great response. It's clear that, I mean, even from the get-go, it didn't even seem like he wanted to be there and play. So, you know, well, I mean, too bad, so sad. Bye. Yeah. See you never. Like,
I agree. I agree. I couldn't care less about him either. By the way, I was laughing because Mark Compton in the chat said he had a 2-week contract.
referring
to the Mooch.
He wasn't a real player.
He wasn't a real player. That would explain everything. He wasn't a real player.
All right. Well, we went from this split vote, this tie vote with Mackie leaving to a knockout HOH competition. And I was very excited about this because I cannot remember the last time that we had a knockout HOH competition when it was a completely split house where, mm-hmm. where there wasn't some kind of majority and people were putting up the same people over and over. It was like two people from one side, two people from another side. And with that setup, it's basically inevitable that it comes down to a final round of the two best players from both sides, which is awesome. And I think this competition played out really well, Melissa.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that I really love a split house, that that's like my favorite kind of Big Brother. But I think I've realized that I really like a split house when it's even. When it's like an even matchup. Otherwise, it's a split house. And then it's like everyone's talking bad about each other. And it's just like mean girls of two sides. I just hate that because then one side is small and they're not as good. So they get taken out like one by one. And it's just like depressing. I like a split house where it's evenly matched. And I do feel like this house being split this way is pretty evenly matched. And it kind of was apparent when they were competing against each other. And you could see that some people were doing really well. And, you know, I liked it. I enjoyed watching this competition. Knockout comps are fun when it's not everyone knocking out one or two people.
Yeah. And so ultimately it comes down to Steph or Chelsea, and these are going to be dramatically different HOH reigns. Mm-hmm. So this is huge, and Chelsea becomes our next HOH. First of all, we got the HOH winner on the eviction episode. Trevor Boris tweeted it out. HOH crowned in the show. Hope you enjoyed. Smiley face or winky face, I should
also
say.
I private messaged Arissa and told her, thank you for doing that. It adds so much to the show. And I'm so psyched for the feats to come on tonight because I just love a house like this. This is great. And we have heard through the grapevine from some people who were there at the taping that they really got into it after Dane broke the tie in Kira's favor and sent home Mackie. Specifically, we have heard that Dane and Kaylin got into it. So I am psyched to see that. And I'm happy to see Kaylin in there getting dirty. That'll be fun.
Yeah, some people were like, oh, you know, we had to miss the drama for the HOH comment. Like, no. We wouldn't have seen the drama on an episode where the HOH competition didn't happen. It would have just ended after the eviction, just like it normally would.
Oh, and by the way, as you bring up Trevor Boris, I just wanted to bring this up because I said this on the LFC roundtable. I said, you know, hey, if you let him know that I'm blocked, bitch, I am not only not blocked by Trevor Boris, he follows me. Girl, bye to all of you out there. Thank you for those of you who tweeted him and if you had anything to do with it, but I was stunned. He only follows like, I don't know, 200 people. And like, I was one of them. And I was like, huh, look at me.
Well, something else, speaking of Trevor Boris, is that in last night's episode, they introduced the twist where the HOH is no longer competing in the veto. And there was some speculation about how long this is going to last. And Trevor actually did respond to one of my maybe a little negative tweets, a little bit making fun of Big Brother Canada, and said, hey, the HOH will start competing in the veto at final five. So this twist will last until the final five, at which point the HOH will start competing again. So, you know, what do we think about that? I'm still on board with it. I still am interested to see how this impacts the game. Mm-hmm. But does this change either of your opinions? You know, the fact that it's going to end at final five?
I'm at least glad, Melissa, that they did realize that in in-game plans, it really makes a difference if the HOH is playing or not. This also tells me, and some people disagreed with this on Twitter, but given that it's going to go at final five, I have to believe there's a triple eviction coming at the final seven, because to me, it would make more sense for the HOH to be back in play at final six, because I really feel like that's where things get a little hairy number wise, and the numbers can, you know, the vote can flip based on who wins the veto and if they're safe and who you have left to nominate. It can really destroy your HOH reign if things go wrong in the veto there at final six. So I have to believe that there's going to be a triple eviction at the final seven, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm withholding judgment, which is very rare for me. So I'm withholding judgment because I feel like this could be a good thing, but I don't know if it is yet. So I'm trying not to be harsh on it or negative on it, because normally I would be, just because it's something different and I hate different things. So I hate change. So when the true, like, you know, the heart of the game is changed, that makes me a little nervous and wary. So I'm excited to see what happens and how it goes. But my hope is that if it doesn't go well, they go back to the normal way next season and they don't pull like a battle of the block thing or whatever, where they're like, well, you know what? We're going to keep going. We're going to keep trying with it. So my hope is that it works out great and then they can continue using it. If it doesn't work out, then let's go back to normal, please.
Yeah, personally, I feel like it's more well thought out than, or at least it might be accidentally more well thought out than many of their other twists, where I don't think that there's an obvious downside. I don't think there's an obvious effect or impact that this has on the game that will make it worse. I think that it will impact the game in a way that will be hard to predict. And based on how it impacts the game, hopefully they will move forward with whatever work best.
You know, in theory, like we talked about before, I feel like the one good thing, if, you know, you could say it's a good thing. I personally think it's a bad thing, because I like seeing people make a mess of their own games, but it will prevent people from winning HOH and veto back to back. And usually that's what gets a big target on people. So, it, you know, the comp beasts in the house who are more likely the Adams of the world, who I think are totally capable of winning HOH and POV back to back. I think that this will probably help them and, you know, give them even less chance to make the target on their back look bigger.
Yes. So something interesting to consider, and I'm very interested to see how it plays out across the season. But in the meantime, Chelsea is our new HOH, and that's how you end an episode, with a new HOH, and you're
Thank
wondering,
you.
What are they going to do? So
and then celebrating. Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
I love
Melissa.
Yeah.
What is she going to do?
I have no idea, really. Like, it seems to me the way that after she won and Adam like ran up and hugged her,
Gag.
I have a feeling that she's going to stick with the pretty boys, not even knowing that they're the pretty boys. And so I have a feeling that Adam and Sam are going to be safe this week for sure. At least that's what I'm thinking, unless something crazy happens. But at this point, it seems that Adam and Sam are going to be safe. So they're going to need to figure out a new target. It seems to me like she might go after Kaylin, maybe Kira and Steph. I could see that happening. By the way, are we like set on Arissa's pronunciation of Estefania? Or is it Estefania?
I think she always calls people by their full names, if that's the way they go into the house, right?
I thought it was like Stefania.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm totally lost. Like, because I guess just looking at it, it looks like it would be Estefania, but she calls her Estefania. And so now I'm like so lost, because we also have Esty and we've got Steph and then we got Kiki and Kira. And I'm just like, there's so many names right now that I'm still trying to get a hold of everything. But anyway, I think that Steph or Esty and Kiki and Kaylin are probably in danger the most. At least that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Kaylin and whoever, that's what I think. Especially after Kaylin made a big stink with Dane and caused some drama, I have to believe that he's going to be ranting about that to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, look, there are people that voted with Chelsea this time. It was the three pretty boys, Sam and herself, and then Dane broke the tie in their favor. Now, she doesn't know they're together, but she at least knows these are the people who voted with me. So she's not going to go after any of them. I feel like she's definitely going to go after the five from over here. Now, I know that Eddie just made a quote unquote alliance with Chelsea over the past 48 hours. However, given that he just voted directly against her, that doesn't sit well with her, I can't imagine. So I think Eddie might be a possibility, even though he's well-liked in the house.
So she did have a conversation with Eddie where they kind of were like, hey, even if we're on the other opposite sides of the vote on this one, it's fine. We can still work together. So I'm not super concerned unless there was some kind of event that that caused this vote split to happen that we don't know about. So personally, I'm not super concerned about Eddie unless we've got more footage to watch in the next episode or whatever. I will also say of, you know, Adam, Sam, Chelsea, and now Kira, who is still in the game, those four are kind of a block at the moment. Of the four of them, I do think Chelsea was the least likely or the least willing to go after Kaylin in particular. So, you know, I think there will be pressure to go after Kaylin, and she will probably concede to that pressure. But I do think there's a possibility she may want to target somebody other than Kaylin. Like perhaps Kiki, you know, I don't like that Steph came in second in this competition right after being the person that was at the forefront of the Mackie campaign.
Yeah, she knew those answers and she was, you know, pressing that button 1,000 times. Like she was, I mean, you could tell that she knew the answers and she was really, really hungry to win. That would make me nervous.
Exactly. You could tell she wanted to win so bad. I mean, everyone else was like, they were in it and they were ready to push the button, but she was like, like, I thought she was going to break the button.
By the way,
like, oh my God.
I just want to say, Jessica in the chat, I've seen you rant about this a couple times. I do try to keep up with the chat as I'm doing the show. There are some people who think that Chelsea cheated because she had her hand over the buzzer when Marissa was reading the question. There was no rule that you could not do that. Frankly,
every competition that has an outcome people don't like, there's some kind of accusation of cheating.
Like if you're somebody who doesn't have your hand close to the buzzer or even over it, you're an idiot. So I have no problem with what Chelsea did, and I am very glad to see her win it again, confirming her status as my number one draft pick. I love you, Chelsea.
Yes. Well, so I do think that, you know, Corey is another option for a nomination potentially here. Corey, obviously new to the house.
I forgot about Corey.
A lot of because she was irrelevant this week. Couldn't be nominated, right? Couldn't vote.
By the way, let us not let that pass. Wait, let's go back to that. Thank you for reminding me and getting me on another rant. God damn it. Listen, seriously, I said this on Monday and all you people in the chat were like, Brent, not a big deal. Why are you complaining? The fact that they just now, after they realized the way the votes might go and realizing that the Pretty Boys, if they have Chelsea and Sam, are enough to make happen what they want to make happen, then they told Corey, you're not allowed to vote. If Corey was voting tonight, I have to believe that Kira would have been the one walking out of the house. And that does not sit well with me. Taryn, I can see you already like getting ready to say something, but that was not a good look. They should have told her when she went in the house, you're not going to have a vote, or right away. She said she asked 3 or 4 times and that they kept saying, we'll get back to you. And again, Big Brother Canada, I'm not calling you out on anything. I'm just saying it doesn't look good. Stop doing shit like that.
Yes, I will say, I completely agree. She was the swing vote. So the fact that she couldn't vote is definitely going to impact the vote one way or another. But I will say that I don't think it's a given that she votes to evict Kira, especially after Kaylin went on a tirade against her to Adam. Adam's been meaning to talk to Corey. If he knew that Corey had a vote, I guarantee he would have talked to her a lot sooner, certainly before the eviction vote happened. And it did seem like she was gravitating toward that group. So I think there's a very real chance she would have voted with Adam anyway, but it doesn't really matter either way, because ultimately the swing vote, yet again, in a decision where Big Brother Canada producers decide whether or not this person has a vote, it is the vote that is either there or not there to make a certain thing happen, which is like the case almost every time this seems to occur. So that's definitely something to watch out for. But the reason I brought Corey up is because of this sort of thing with Adam that she had, that I think that she could be a potential person to nominate, maybe even target if Chelsea wants to kind of stay away from drawing any lines. However, Adam has been meaning to talk to Corey for a while and wants to bring her in. And so I could see him trying to persuade Chelsea to not go in that direction if they have a good talk. The problem is when Kaylin went on a tirade against Corey, it was because Adam had talked to Corey about potentially actually working together, Corey ran that back to Kaylin, who at the time was still one of her final two deals, and asked for her advice. Kaylin then went to Adam and said, hey, Corey's running back and forth. She's shady. And Adam felt betrayed because he had gone to Corey and she had gone back to Kaylin. So he needs to talk to her about that. If she handles that conversation well, if he actually follows through with that, I can see Corey staying safe. But I do think she is potentially another option here. How do you feel about that, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, about going back to what Brent had said about the Corey vote, I feel like overall it's actually beneficial for Corey to not have a vote and to not be involved. I mean, I guess it could cut either way, because it could be like, oh, okay, you're not involved. We don't really care about involving you in any strategy talk. There could be missed opportunities for her to, like, you know, strategize with people and bond with them, because it's like, okay, you're totally irrelevant this week. But at the same time, it's clear that this was a situation where she should not be involved, because there are two separate sides to the house. And if she had, and at this point, she didn't have to pick a side, which I think is beneficial, because now, you know, she can say, look, I would have voted with you guys. I would have voted with you. I'm on your side. Whereas if she would have had to pick a side, there's no going back after that point. So yeah. Now she can go to either side, say, especially with Chelsea, she can say, look, I was with you guys. I would have voted with you guys. I totally was on board, and kind of distance herself from the other side. And so I think I think it benefits her in the long term.
For sure. Yeah. Because now she, you know, if Steph had won, she could have, you know, gone to them and been like, man, I was totally with you. And now that Chelsea has won, she can talk to Adam and be like, you know, I totally would have been with you. So
exactly.
You know,
and everybody else who had to pick, even if they were kind of like, I don't really know, they had to pick in the end. And so now it's clear where the lines are drawn, except for Corey.
Yes. So the other option, I think, left on the table is Damien. I think that Damien is definitely, he's not likely to be the target, I don't think. However, this vote cast against Kira is not a good thing for him. I think that it could be held against him. I know that the Pretty Boys told him, you know, hey, it's fine if you vote against us, but they kind of said it in a way that was very guilt trippy. Like, I mean, I guess if you want to do that, if you want to go against us, you can, and that's fine. And also, it was not Chelsea who said that to them. This is not like the Chelsea and Eddie conversation where they both agreed, hey, we can still work with each other if we're on the opposite side of the vote. This is a case where Chelsea and Damien did not really talk much about what would happen if they were on the opposite side of the vote. So I could see Damien being in a little bit of trouble, perhaps being nominated as a pawn, like I said, not likely a target, but, you know, just being up there is not a good thing, especially with a house so volatile with how many times this vote flipped this week. So Damien could be in some trouble here, Brent.
Yeah, Doom also brings up the possibility of Damien being a really juicy backdoor option for Chelsea if she chooses to go that route. I feel like that the Pretty Boys are really going to have something to say about this. They're going to be in her ear. And what do they want? I feel like they're probably going to want Kaylin or maybe Damien if they really feel betrayed. I think you're probably right that Eddie is probably safe, but this vote doesn't sit well. And the fact that the twins did you know well in that competition is not going to sit well for them. If I had to make a call right now, I'd say she nominates the twins, that being obviously Kiki and Steph.
I agree. And part of the reason I agree is that they obviously were two of the leaders in the Mackie campaign. Chelsea is probably the person closest to Kira. So this Mackie thing will matter, I think, more to her than it would to the rest of that group. And also just watching the performance in the competitions, in this HOH competition, both Kiki and Steph were monsters. Kiki, for like two of the three times she won, pressed the button, slammed the button multiple times before Arissa was even done reading the question. I was like, wow, she is really good at this. I can't believe she didn't win. And then Steph comes in so close as well. I think they're starting to look, the two of them, like a big threat in the game. And I could definitely see them being targeted at this point.
Kiki won three rounds. She won three rounds, and her fourth round was against Chelsea, where she lost by like a split second. That was disappointing. By the way, Taryn, I saw you tweet this out. The fact that Sam was really the only one who went across tribal lines here and picked Anthony and Corey. She didn't pick either person on the other side of the vote for her two people to put up during the knockout competition. And I agree with your assessment that Dane is going to rant about this nonstop, and probably Anthony as well.
Yes, they're gonna be this is
they're
exactly
not happy.
Why Sam needed to go. She's
we
a wild
said this
card.
All along. She's against us. She's gonna be the death of the pretty boys. Like, you know that's gonna come up for sure.
Yeah. I think Anthony also picked somebody that was off, or maybe it was Mark. I think they were probably
Anthony picked Sam and Este. And
yeah, he picked Sam,
Mark
right.
Mark picked Eddie and Kiki. So those were fine. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
He
said, well, if you pick me, I'm going to pick you.
Yes. I think one of the impacts that this split vote has is that it exposes the guys a lot more than the majority vote would have, because they're trying to hide the fact that there are four of them working together. And yet in a vote where there's ultimately six total with Dane as the tiebreaker, four of them came from those guys. And that's hard to hide from. And so if they also never chose each other in the knockout competition, if they're, you know, if it's really starting to look like it's basically like six people or seven people against the rest of the house,
then
four of them are going to have a lot, a much tougher time hiding the fact that they are all together. And I know Anthony in particular is very conscious of that. So I think that this was ultimately the right move for the Pretty Boys, but it ended up happening in a way that was very bad for them. This was the worst case scenario in terms of keeping Kira in the house, but doing it in a way that really drew some lines, I think. And we could see that come back to haunt them. However, I think Chelsea winning HOH was huge.
Yeah, Chelsea winning HOH was huge, Melissa. I think they really should have tried harder to strong arm Damien's vote, for instance, or Eddie if they knew there was a possibility that he might vote the other way. Really put the fear of God into them. Like, we have the votes. Y'all need to vote this way. By letting, you know, I get the idea of like, well, you don't want to tell people what to do, and that's all well and good. But by allowing that to happen, then this happens where it's Chelsea and Sam, who people see somewhat as a pair. I know that Sam's with Adam, but yeah, they see Chelsea and Sam working together, and then four guys, and Dane broke the tie in favor of that side. So not a great look.
Yeah, I think it's pretty revealing. And especially if there's a situation where you tell somebody that you're going to vote a certain way and then you vote a different way. I feel like if that is also really revealing, because then you're like, well, why didn't you tell me that we were all changing the votes? Like, if anyone feels like they're left out of a vote, that affects people. I think that I'm excited to see how this sort of dynamic changes the house, how this vote changes the house dynamic, because there was the possibility a little earlier in the week that it was going to be everyone voting the same way except for Kiki and Steph. So if that had happened, this would be totally different. But now we've got two distinct sides that were like, why did you vote that way? Why wasn't I included? There's going to be a lot of interesting dynamics.
That's very interesting as well. Also, the other relationship that to me suffered, and I know it had been growing apart, but the fact Mark was really close with the twins, like, 5 minutes ago, and he not only didn't vote with them and didn't tell them apparently which way the vote was going, but also picked them in the competition. Kiki, of course, picked Mark first because she was obviously pissed at him, and then Mark picked her right back. So I like the go ahead.
I caught when Mark was chosen by Steph, I caught him giving a look to her, like not like giving her a look, but like looking in her direction like, what, really?
Like what
she just
hell?
Picked me?
Yeah.
Like he was not happy. I think he thought he had a better relationship with her than I think Steph kind of, you know, tipped her cards a little bit there, because she's talking about how she hasn't been trusting Mark the last few days, and I think now he probably knows it a little bit.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I do think we've buried the lead here a little bit because we did mention at the top of the show, but we need to talk about that Kevin Martin and Karen and their Wendy's segment here. Okay.
I was so hopeful when I heard that they were going to be on. I was so hopeful it was going to be like a non-scripted segment, or like them coming into the house non-scripted, because they're so funny. And I feel like the scripted things, it was good. I was glad to see them. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I always love their dynamic when Karen is just like going off and saying everything she wants to say. And I was just kind of missing that because it was more just like, you could tell like it was very scripted.
By the way, Karen says some people see boogeymen or scary clowns in their nightmares. I see that Kevin Robert Martin. And by the way,
he's like the sweetest person in the world too in that picture.
What is going on with my hair? Oh my God, I can't. It's like, oh my God, that is curly as hell. It's like as curly as your hair when it grows out, Darren. I think I even said that in a tweet one time, that when your hair grows out, it looks like this, but better.
I'm so glad that I'm glad that they're friends. Like, they're frenemies, I guess. I like
it's
that.
Like me and Karen. I swear.
Right.
It's
like, I like that they get along, but they're still willing to play up their like funny, you know, hatred of each other. I think it's just so funny.
I thought it was great. I know it was a Wendy's infomercial. I get that. But at least it was entertaining, and it had Karen and it had Kevin. I was here for it. I know. And I know it was stupid. The questions were stupid. I get that. Took up time. We didn't get to see Anthony, you know, making his moves this week. All well and good. I grant you that. But still, given some of the crap that I've seen on Big Brother Canada over the years and their infomercials, this was above board, Taryn.
Well, the real question is, which was better, this or Cousins from Big Brother Celebrity?
Oh gosh, that's tough. Melissa, do you have an idea?
I think Cousins, because they weren't just directly shilling the Dave's combo and the Baconator or whatever. Like, I'm glad that. You know, Wendy's, don't get me wrong, I'm happy Big Brother Canada has sponsors, but, you know, I prefer the sponsors when they're part of the actual competition. I feel like I've been over this so many times, but when they're part of the actual competition and not just like, I love a Baconator, I'm going to eat that. And you have to like remember what they said.
Problem, Taryn, as I see it, was they had basically two competitions in this episode. They should have made the Karen, Kevin, Wendy's thing. You know, you get Wendy's, but also that video is going to be important.
Yes.
For
I completely agree.
About, okay, what did she order? What did he order? Like, I thought this was going to be HOH questions. And then it was something really dumb.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the other thing, is that it's not even like, yeah, but it was worth it to see that conga line. It was like, no, like that was like dumb, too. So I didn't care to see that either. I just one scripted boring segment then rather than two spread out across an episode.
Yeah, I honestly would have preferred like a 3-minute just straight commercial from Wendy's than like 6-minute segment where they then have a competition based on the thing, or do what you guys said, which is even better, which is just have the HOH competition based on this Wendy's segment. And we don't have to also do, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when they were giving them the spy tasks, I was just like, it got to a point where I was like, oh, and another one? And another one?
Done yet?
And another one? It was a lot. It was a lot.
And they weren't even fun, though. It was like, oh, take a nap. If it was like kiss the person next to you, I'd be like, oh man, we've got something going on. But like, they're like, now fall
such
asleep.
A pervert, Melissa. Oh
my God. I know, right? No, but for real though, it's like, don't make them do boring stuff. Make them do fun stuff. Like, or make them do something outrageous or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like that's the solution here is just combine the Wendy stuff with the HOH comp. And then we don't have to have the spy missions and we don't have to have the boring, inconsequential, will they get Wendy's for dinner competition? You can combine that with the HOH. Like, hey, here's the bonus Wendy's for dinner question or whatever. So that was that. I think another interesting thing from the episode. Apart from, you know, Melissa, I think we need to weigh in on the Kevin Hare situation from you as well, because a lot of people are talking about his hair. What are your thoughts?
I didn't mind his hair. I mean, I like his hair shorter, but I didn't mind his hair so much here. There was a picture or something that we saw earlier where his hair was like up in a like in a headband. And I was like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of the headband thing, but you know, it didn't look so bad on the episode. But to be fair, I do like the shorter hair look on Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin Martin with the headband looked like LaToya Jackson in the 1980s. I'm just saying it wasn't a good look.
Don't get that reference.
I know. All good.
Would you guys like to see these kinds of segments more, or do you prefer when the former house guest like comes into the house or hosts a competition or does an interview with Arissa?
I mean, this is fun. I think to answer your question, because I never got to, Cousins was way better. It was a lot more fun and it lasted longer. I feel like I would have liked for this to have gone on a little bit longer. I would have liked to have spent more time with these two people. I mean, it's not like we get to see them that often, Kevin and Karen together. So it would have been fun. But I also think it would be fun if they come back and host a competition. Also, I am like Matt Liguori. I have not given up hope that Ika will come back many times and host a competition or two. I don't care. You know, she doesn't need to be at the Wendy's window, she can be hosting competitions. And, I want to see her more.
I will say, I think that Kevin and Karen would have been more fun hosting a competition, having natural dialogue between the two of them, because I think they're really funny together, and yes, having it be scripted, yeah, just like
they do not need writers
as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They're not the type of people who need to have writers. Mm-hmm. So for them, I would have preferred, you know what I would have preferred is them interviewing each other about the season, like asking each other what they like about the season or don't like or whatever. And then that way they can just, you know, riff off each other and interact rather than have these like,
by the way,
I'm getting a Baconator.
Did you see when they were asking for the correct answers and they were like, the blonde, the super fan, and the old person, cut to Kaylin. I was like, thank you, editors.
When they first started cutting people, I was like, are they really talking about Eddie when they're talking about the nerdy super fan? I'm not really seeing that.
Probably, yeah.
But like, then they made the joke and I was like, oh, okay, all right, okay.
Speaking of Kaylin, I feel like this was one of the more misleading segments of the episode, where we get, I've been talking on the live feed updates how Kaylin is one of my favorite parts of the entire week, because while the vote has been going back and forth like nobody's business, Kaylin has just been like sitting in her own world talking about like, no, guys, I know these things. I have a gut feeling about this. The vote is going to be unanimous. Mackie is staying. It's a done deal. Nothing is going to change. And then we start to get a segment of her in the diary room where she says, I have gut feelings about these sorts of things. And I was like, here we go. All right. This is going to be great. And she goes, and I think Mackie is not as safe as he thinks he is. And I was like, what?
They really let her off the hook. They really did. I mean, like, come on. Like, I've been watching her and I thought, like, girl, you can't possibly think that he's as safe as you think he is. Like, this has to be a front you're just putting on for him. But she even has me believing it. And then I saw her in the diary room. I was like, well, I guess you can give her credit for the fact that she's not as dumb as maybe we thought she was. And maybe she did have an inkling that Mackie is not truly safe. But it's hard for me to disassociate that from what she was saying in the house. And I really do feel like they missed a good chance to really just totally lay into her and sandbag her. Not to mention a few times that I've seen the house guest talking about her age on the feeds. And they could have made her look shady if they wanted to. On the other hand, given that Chelsea's HOH this week, maybe Kaylin will get her own segment next week if she's on the block. By the way, you know, this isn't spoilers because you guys already know Chelsea's the HOH, but they're telling me that on the feet, Kaylin is not budging from the HOH room because she's already got her HOH room reveal. On the feeds, it's just Adam, Chelsea, Sam, Kira, all people who voted together, by the way, and Kaylin in the HOH room. LOL, awkward.
Yeah, and well, what's interesting about this segment with Kaylin is that this is, she's talking about how she doesn't think Mackie is safe and that he needs to go campaign. This is when it was almost unanimous, probably unanimous, to keep Mackie. She was actually wrong in saying that Mackie wasn't as safe as she thought he was. And her encouragement for him to campaign is ultimately when he goes to Dane and tells him he's going to put him on the block. Then later in the week, when Mackie is hearing that he's going to potentially get voted out, he's being told by multiple people that they're not going to vote to keep him anymore. He goes to Kaylin. He's like, multiple people are telling me I'm in trouble. That's when she goes, nah, you're good.
Everything's good. I know these things, Taryn. I can feel it.
Yes. We also got, I think the other sort of misleading element of the episode was Kira talking to Adam. They kind of implied that Kira had convinced Adam. She did. I mean, in some ways she did succeed in the sense that she talked to Adam. She got a confirmation that he was working for her. She did not, that they did not screw it up and that they were able to get through the week without pulling a Mackie. But ultimately they were not really the cause of this. Adam had already been on board with keeping them and going after Mackie because he had heard from Anthony that Mackie was targeting him. Also they had Chelsea working for them, which obviously gets Sam as well. And Sam liked the fact that, Kira was going after Kaylin. So, you know, you can give them some credit. Right.
For not,
again,
screwing up.
Not screwing up. But yes, they did kind of imply that they were more involved with their safety than it really was the case.
Melissa, Kira did not have, to me, any real affirmative impact on going this week or not going this week. The only thing that Kira did was, you know, the basic Big Brother 101 of don't tell people to their face that you're going to put them on the block. Mm-hmm. Don't tell the person who controls the votes that you're going to put them on the block and lay low. Right. That's and unfortunately Mackie wasn't able to do those things, and that's why he ended up going home.
Right. And you say things like, I want to work with you, and yes, you know, simple things like that.
So who do you want me to go after?
Right, yes, exactly.
Sam,
I'll go after
Kaylin,
whoever
fine.
You want. Yeah. I just feel like it wasn't, the episode gave way too much credit, I think. I mean, not that that didn't help, but I don't think that was the deciding factor. And the way that Kira was like celebrating afterwards, you know, dancing and all that, made it look like, oh man, pulled off a big move there, but it just really wasn't anything super spectacular.
Yeah, and I will say that neither of these things, I think, are super bad. Like, this is nothing like Big Brother Canada 6 quite yet, in the sense that, like, I'm not super, like, it's not a huge deal if people think that Kira did a good job. It's not a huge deal if Kaylin got it wrong and they pretended she got it right.
We're not in that territory yet.
Yeah, it's not the best sign in the world, but it's also not terrible. So, you know, just letting you guys know that this is what the podcast is for, to let you know the real stuff that happened. Brent, you seem very amused here.
I'm sorry, this is just too good to not share with you guys. So apparently on the live feeds, Eddie is blaming his vote on a language barrier issue, which is just so unbelievable to me.
I mean, that's like, amazing.
Oh,
I so amazing.
Love him too. Like, it's just, I mean, like,
well, you can't really argue with that too. You're gonna have to be
come on.
Okay.
There is no colorable basis for him to say that. I love the fact that he's saying that, and maybe he can,
I don't know.
You know,
I mean,
he's in the diary room saying like, "Screw you, Kira. This is to get you out."
He had a whole speech, Melissa. He was ready to go.
Oh, I know. Oh, well, no, I don't think that. I don't think it's true at all. But I just think that, like, I think it's a situation where you can't really argue against it, because then he'll be like, are you serious? Like, that's culturally insensitive to like pretend like I don't have a language barrier issue or something like that. Like, you could blame it on anything and just use that. I think it's great.
He said this ahead of time. He's really going to lean into people's stereotypes of him.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is awesome.
I think it's freaking awesome. I love the fact that he's doing this. This is great.
It's so funny, too.
Yeah. All right. So anything else from the episode that you guys feel like we need to bring up?
Really? I'm just like you, as you saw during this podcast, I completely forgot that Corey was in the house. I mean, that's what happens when you don't get a vote. I completely forgot that she's there. So I'm glad that she is now part of the conversation and she can vote. Also, really, really glad that Kira ended up staying another week and I think is not going to be targeted anytime soon, at least I'm guessing, especially with Chelsea in power. And even if somebody else came to power next week, I don't feel like they would target Kira. I feel like this is great. Again, representation matters for those of us who have had trouble, learning to use the correct pronouns with somebody, because I've never really had much contact with a non-binary person before. This is really, really awesome. Gives us more exposure, and the more you're exposed to it, the more natural it sounds. So I, for one, am really grateful about that.
Yes. Also, my draft is happy. So,
wait, who had Mackie?
No, he picked Kira with like his first pick.
Yeah.
No, but who had Mackie?
Really, it was Mackie? Like looking.
Wasn't it you?
I don't have Mackie.
Oh, maybe it's
Rob.
Mackie. Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, I have Anthony and I have Sam and I have Kiki.
Oh, I'm the only person with an intact team, I think, now.
I think so. Yeah, because I had
Laura. So it must be Rob.
Yeah.
So well.
All right. Okay. We have a couple of questions here. We've talked about what Chelsea might do, but what would be the smart move for Chelsea? What do we think Chelsea should do with these nominations? It's a tough one because Chelsea was not necessarily in danger, but I do think she was in a spot where she does need to shake up the status quo a little bit. So how does she do that successfully?
I think that, Melissa, she should put up Eddie because he has shown that he cannot be trusted. And he doesn't really have, we haven't really talked about this, but Eddie, although he's well-liked in the house, doesn't really have any strong bonds with anybody in the house. There's nobody who's like ride or die with Eddie. So I feel like that would be someone who would, everyone would be like, okay, I don't love the fact that Eddie's going up on the block as a target, but he is well-liked and I probably couldn't beat him at the end. And it's not really, you know, better him than me. So I do feel like that's somebody she could get away with she's targeting somebody from the other side who didn't vote with them. On the other hand, it's somebody who is not going to cause a lot of blowback from people. And also it's a guy. And I think she's going to need all the women she can get to break up this guy's alliance eventually.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like, yeah, eventually she's going to have to break up that guy's alliance. But is now the time to do it? I don't know. I feel like she was in a good place because she was kind of, I feel like if she didn't win HOH this week, I feel like she wouldn't have been the target. So it's kind of like, it kind of probably would have been better for her if she didn't win, because now she's going to have to pick a side, pick an alliance, like pick where she's going to be. So
can we talk about that, Taryn? Should she have thrown this once it got down to down to her?
That's the problem, is that she was up against Anthony, who quickly pressed the wrong answer, potentially threw this competition to her, and then the next person she was up against was Steph. And so if she was going to throw it, she would have had to throw it to Steph, and that's a risky proposition, especially since she's very closely allied with Sam, and if Steph was HOH, it would probably be something like Sam Adam, maybe Sam Chelsea. Especially
Chelsea
if the veto is used.
Yeah.
So I think she's probably right to win this one. But it is a tricky spot here for her. And it really depends on how she's able to move her relationships forward in the week. Just based on how things are positioned, I do feel like I don't want it to happen, but it feels like Damian might be one of the safer bets. I think that
Damian and Eddie. Who's that going to piss off?
Well, here's the thing. I think she's a lot closer to Eddie than she is with Damian. I think that Eddie is more dangerous, but I think that's good because she needs dangerous people to take on the pretty boys. Whereas Damian, despite the fact that he didn't vote with them and that he doesn't seem particularly excited about working with them, I think the pretty boys still like Damian and they want to bring him in if possible. And so if she's able to take him out before that happens, it kind of is a way to cut at their numbers without actually taking a shot at them, and also not pissing off the other side of the house, which leaves the pretty boys versus the Kaylin people intact, and she can sit back a little more. So that's probably where I would go, despite the fact that would make me very sad.
Melissa, by the way, how wrong were we about Anthony? I really want to talk about that, because I know I personally was really down on him preseason, to the point where I was going to take a mystery box over Anthony, and I think I even made fun of you for taking Anthony over the mystery box.
Yeah, everyone made fun of me. And I was like, I don't think his interview was that bad, but everyone...
Well, I think his interview was bad, but I don't think the interview
was...
You
almost took the mystery box.
Interview wasn't representative of him.
I wouldn't have taken the mystery box. There's no way. I'm not a risk taker. I was saying if I took the mystery box, then Brent would win with Anthony.
Yeah.
If I took Anthony, Brent would win with the mystery box. So it's just whatever Brent picks. That was my logic behind it. Was just like, Brent's going to win no matter what. So except like if I pick the mystery box, I'm going to lose.
Yes.
Sure.
Speaking of Anthony, we have another question from Mel, who wanted to know, I get it's too soon to get rid of Sam, but doesn't keeping Kira give Sam a number for later? Yes. That's why Dane was against keeping Kira, or one of the reasons at least why Dane was against keeping Kira in the first place. And Anthony was on board with that. The problem was that Mackie was just not they weren't able to leave Mackie in the game because he wouldn't play ball with them, and he kept naming people from their alliance as targets. In particular, the one that broke the camel's back was yesterday Mackie said he would nominate Anthony, and then he told Anthony that he said he would nominate Anthony, at which point Anthony finally decided this guy has to go. Anthony made the final vote flip happen yesterday. It went through last night, and that's what caused Mackie to be evicted. So if you were wondering, based on what you saw on the show, that's really what happened there.
Anthony was really the mover and shaker of the last 24 hours. By the way, also, because I named him when I was sandbagging Anthony earlier and really trolling him, Matt Ligori in his rankings of the Big Brother Canada house guests had Anthony as the third ranked person, and I basically was like, what the hell? And obviously
now you're like, oh,
I was wrong again. So my apologies, Matt.
Yes. We have another one from Krugler. Wait, did Adam just pick up and hug Chelsea right after winning, and that's okay?
Yes. Gross.
I guarantee there's gonna be talk about that in the house. After how much talk there was about Chelsea or about Sam jumping on at her hips were up to like here, dude.
Also Adam saying to Sam, you know, kind of being like, you shouldn't have done that. And now the first thing he does is do it to Chelsea. It's just like, not a good look, guys. Everyone.
Well, to be fair to him, and I'm not, you know, again, even Parhar made this mistake when he was on Big Brother Canada jumping into the HOH's arms. It is one thing when it's after an 11-0 vote and you're like happy for someone who won. It's quite another thing when it's like a split vote and an HOH breaks a tie. You know, your life is flashing before your eyes if the wrong person wins HOH or one of your allies. And so when she won, they were obviously really happy about it. And I get it. And, you know, no one, I wouldn't expect anything less of them, but I do think it was kind of ridiculous.
All right. I think it's time to get into a little bit of some spoilers. We have some amount of information. There's not a lot. It's very early talks. And it's honestly nothing that we haven't already been speculating about. So I don't think it's that you need to drop out here, but in case you are very spoiler averse, we are going to talk about what we've seen on the feeds in just the short amount of time that they've been back. So here's your chance to hop out. You can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens tonight, and I will tell you the story of today on the feeds. And then Monday, we will be back for the next roundtable, the second one of the season, where we will reveal our stock watch choices and update the prices and see if anyone made any massive mistakes. So that'll be fun to check in with. Thank you everyone for joining us. It is time for some spoilers. I don't have the song, but Brent can sing it for us.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
People have asked, is that me talking on it? But that spoiler song has been going on before I joined.
Yeah.
People were like, Melissa, is that you on the spoiler song? I'm like, no.
This is a spoiler.
So here are the spoilers. Again, there's not a whole lot, really just mostly confirmation of what we've already been saying. Chelsea mentioned that she has a few people in mind, four of the people that they talked about. Chelsea said, or Kira suggested Kiki and Kaylin, and then Chelsea finished with Esty and Damien. Those are the four who are in the most amount of danger. Eddie was mentioned, and it seemed like Chelsea kind of shut that down. It also seems like when I talked about how Chelsea, I felt like was the least likely or the least willing to go after Kaylin, it does seem like she is trying to avoid targeting Kaylin. She is talking about how Kaylin's not a threat, how she might be somebody that they can use, and that even if they did go after her, it would probably have to be a back door. So I think that Kaylin is probably safe this week, and we are looking at what is likely going to be something like Kiki, Steph, or Damien. I don't like any of them leaving. but that's what it's looking like right now. Let's see. Kira just asked Chelsea, who would you put up beside Damien? And Chelsea said, that's what we were talking about. I don't want it to be a wasted HOH, but some of these HOHs need to be to clear out numbers. So it seems like Damien is for sure going on the block, and then it's going to be a matter of whether they put up Kiki or Steph, or maybe a pawn next to Damien. I don't know if Damien is the target yet.
You know, I don't know about you two, but I am totally fine if Damien ends up being on the block and ends up going this week. He is a sweet guy. He's nice, like total husband material, but he's not very good television. He's even worse feeds. He doesn't really game too much. He doesn't want to play the game too much. It's a completely vapid personality, Melissa. He's a pretty boy. Like, he's the real pretty boy, but he's got no personality that these other guys have.
Okay. It's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
The more I'm reading, the more it seems to me, again, this is just first kind of impressions, and I'm not entirely entrenched in what's happening, but it seems to me like Chelsea is leaning toward Damien as a target, and it's just a matter of who is going up next to Damien as the pawn. And she's mentioning that if she doesn't, because she's a little bit worried about nominating Kiki because she feels like Kiki might win the veto and keep herself safe. So she's saying, hey, if I don't nominate Kiki, then I won't piss them off. So she then is now considering Damien and Kaylin as a potential thing. And then if the veto is used, then potentially a backdoor, which would likely be Kiki. So it's looking like Damien, Kiki, and Kaylin are in the most danger. The vote could flip on Kaylin potentially. Damien might go if he doesn't win the veto. And if he does win the veto, Kiki is a likely backdoor target. So,
by the way, people in the chat are talking about the fact that Damien really needs to get that blood veto. Obviously, he's the only person who knows about it. Honey, I am thinking that blood veto is not going to, it's not going to show up until Big Brother wants it to show up. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to show up in week three to save Damien's ass. It just ain't.
Yeah. No, I honestly think that it wasn't like, oh, Damien found the blood veto. He's going to get the blood veto. I think it's like he's the one who knows that it's there. So then if something happens in the future where Big Brother's like, we have a special veto and everyone's like, what's going on? Then he could be like, he could tell people I saw it, or maybe he knows where to get it or whatever. But I don't think that it means that is a veto for Damien. I think that that's just like a reveal of it. So that way he could tell the rest of the house, like, guys, this might come into play at some point. But I don't think it's intended for him.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it was a massive mistake for Damien to vote to evict Kira. I think that the guys, I do think the guys will try to protect him a little bit here. I saw something else a little bit earlier about how they just before this conversation about noms happened, they were talking about, like, wouldn't it be great if we could bring him in even closer? So I think that they seem to be fine with him as a target, which is exactly why I suggested Chelsea do this, because it's a great way to undercut them before it's a direct shot. But I do think that they might still try to protect him, but I think they would try a lot harder if he had just actually voted with them and not voted against them. And that could be the reason why they decide, you know what, fine, just let him go. So I really don't like that he did that, because I don't see anybody that voted to evict Kira, going out of their way to protect him over themselves. Like Kaylin, I think will be more protected than Damian. And the twins. The twins might. I do think that if either Steph or Kiki goes up on the block, they will likely go home. But I do think that that Damian will have to win a veto there in order to make that happen.
Yep, I agree.
All right, man. That's it's bad for Damian. Bad for Damian. But like I said, this is very early. You know, I think that they're talking about like, oh, we need to go and talk to Anthony. Anthony might have his own ideas. I know that he was talking just last night to Adam about how he hates to say it, but they might need to target Mama. So, yep. I could see him trying to shift the target onto Kaylin. I could also see, like I said, if Kaylin goes on the block next to Damian, that these guys might try to shift the vote from Damian to Kaylin. So, there's still a lot that could happen here.
I would rather, like I said, I'd rather Damian go home. I would hate to lose Kaylin. I would hate to lose Kiki or Steph. I'd hate to lose Eddie. Like, the only person I'm really cool with losing would be, and it's amazing that Corey hasn't come up in this conversation because she didn't even vote. But I would love to see Damian go home. He's a cool guy. Don't get me wrong. I know he has some fans out there, but he's just not adding much to the game right now. And I, at least if you're not going to give me game, at least give me drama. And he's given me neither.
Yeah, I've kind of looked at it like Damian is a long term investment of, I think the longer he stays in the game, the better he's going to get, in both in terms of strategy and in terms of being a character, because I do think he will play ball with the guys long enough, but I don't think he'll ever fully be with them. And I do think he'll eventually try to turn on them. Whereas Kaylin is like an immediate payoff, right? Where she's bringing great stuff. I loved watching her this week. I think that she brings fire to the house, but, you know, I don't see a lot of long-term prospects with her. So I could personally go either way. And I like Damian a lot, but I like what Kaylin brings to the show. So honestly, of all of them, I'd soonest lose Kiki, because I do still feel like she's dragging Steph's game down. But at the same time, if she's good enough to win competitions for them, and they both survive this week, then that could also work in their favor. So I'm all over the place in terms of what I want to have happen.
This feels like when Brett got beat by like a half second by the eventual winner of last season, Casey, during, you know, when he was going to nominate Casey and Angela, I think the furniture. Yes, that's what was going to happen. He was going to nominate them. And then he lost the HOH competition. It feels a little bit like that, because she only lost by like literally they were pressing the button at the same time.
Trent Walgamont in the chat says Damian reminds me of Dominic, which I totally see. I can't believe I haven't thought of that before.
Yeah,
I Dominic was one of my favorite players. And
Dominic had more personality though.
He was more exciting, I think. But I think that's like the potential that I see in Damian, is that I feel like he just needs a little bit more stimulation to really rise to the occasion. But we'll see how it goes. Anything else that any more speculation, any more ideas that you have, Melissa?
No, not really. I feel like it's going to be an interesting week, because I don't really know what's going to happen. You're right. I'm a little concerned for Damian, but, you know, he could pull through and, you know, talk. All he has to do really is have like a few conversations with people, and this whole thing could be moot, because, you know, I think Damian is savvy enough to not pull a Mackie and to actually be able to go to people and like say, look, I want to work with you. I don't have any true allies right now. I'll do whatever you guys want. I'm an ally for you. I want to work with you, whatever he has to say. And I could see him doing that. So maybe by even, you know, 30 minutes from now, we'll be having a different target. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
I think someone else we should talk about before we wrap this up is Kira. Where do they go from here? You know, Kira just survived this vote barely. And I feel like this was the crux of their game. And now that they've survived this vote, is anyone going to be coming for them anytime soon? I feel
that's exactly
the kind of player that is going to just kind of drift along for a while now. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But at the same time, based on what I've been reading of the tweets, they also seem like the kind of player. I think the reason that they were put into that situation in the first place is because they overplayed a little bit. And it does seem like they are pushing really hard in this conversation with Chelsea about like who to nominate. So they might go straight back to overplaying and dig themselves a hole again. But it'll be interesting to see, because I think that they have a great opportunity now to just completely fly back under the radar, where people are very comfortable with them, especially if Kaylin stays in the house, because they know she has one Kaylin is the target, and that they're safe. They're safe from Kira, and so they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, when I was just looking at the updates, I was pretty surprised that I kept seeing Kira's name pop up. And I think that, because I was thinking, like, you know, now is the absolute perfect time for them to just drift back into the shadows and not be heard from or seen for a long time. But then that would be my move, because I'd be like, look what happened when I was out there trying to play. And now that I'm safe, now that I've miraculously survived this week, I'm going to lay low. And instead, it seems like now that Chelsea has won HOH, they feel like this is their opportunity to jump right back in the game.
Just,
and I feel like that is a bad move right now.
Yeah, I am also hoping that they just go right under the radar and just go to sleep for a little while. Nobody even cares about you right now. Just hush, 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 hush. And you can make it easily to mid-jury, I have to believe. By the way, you know, I do use my mic a little bit every now and then to call people out. I will say that Big Brother Canada prides itself on being the nicer version of the Big Brother shows between us and the U.S. And they usually do a great job of that. But I really wish that they, or maybe they already have, talked to both Adam and Dane. Adam, it seems like at times, has been deliberately using improper pronouns when referring to Kira, and I really hope that either somebody has told him to stop or he has stopped on his own. Not a good look.
He has started using the correct pronouns.
Yes,
I think everyone
has.
At this point is getting really good at it.
And good for them. That is awesome to see. Secondly, they might need to have a talk with Dane as well. I saw him say something on the feeds that was obviously retweeted. I retweeted it as well. That was really offensive to me, referring to one of the house guests of color as a gorilla. That was not great. I'm hoping that Big Brother has had a talk with him as well, because that wasn't an accident. Do not try to convince me it was. Okay. Thank you, Taryn.
One final thing before we wrap this up, I just for further confirmation, Adam was talking to Chelsea and said, you don't want to put up Eddie, right? She says, no. And Adam says, Esty. And she says, no. So,
ooh, good.
Okay, they both seem to be safe here. So. All right. That's what we have for you. Again, I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening tonight on the feeds. I might go live on Twitch sometime after this podcast to watch these feeds and see what the nominations are going to come down as. And again, Monday night, roundtable number 2. It'll be fun.
You got it. I can't wait to see what you guys decided to do with your buys. I was going to say buys and sells, but there are many sells yet. So buys. I can't wait to see what you decided to do. It's going to be very fun this year, because it all boils down to how much money you have in the end. So you can't just like sit on somebody the entire time and buy them. And at the end, it's not going to work like that either. You're going to have the most money at the end of the game. You don't even have to buy if you don't want to. I don't remember if we made a rule. You have to make a buy.
You still have a limit of money that you can bank, but yeah, it's not as important that you buy into the winner.
Also, people were asking about this earlier, that we made our picks before spoilers came out, before people got evicted. So our picks are long in. So everyone was like, yeah, but won't you pick someone different because now you know who's out and stuff? No. We picked
We got in our picks earlier today before 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. I actually set my alarm to make sure I didn't forget. But I also, because the vote flipped so many times, I wanted to have as much information as possible to make my decisions with the most information, like any good stock trader would do. So I waited and tried to do it at the very last minute. I think I put in my picks at like a 2:30 or something. So
yeah, Alexandra had to remind me because I didn't put them in. And then she's like, did you?
Thank you, Alexandra. Like, we appreciate the reminders.
Yes, Alexandra's doing a great job of dealing with all of our madness and should very much be thanked all the time. So thank you to Alexandra. All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And if you want to find me on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Find me there. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.